You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Yeah, you know something big's gonna happen when this shit plays. Yo! Joining me right now is the man, the myth, the legend himself on the Marine Corps birthday, Michael Musselman, Chief Warrant Officer 5, otherwise known as the Gunner. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, Mac?
Nothing.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, man. I'm fired up for whatever reason. I've been having an awesome time talking to people today. So I'm fired up.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yep. So what are you doing today? You're living in Texas. You're going to something tomorrow. And we've been talking about the birthday this week. But did you ever your dad's a former Marine? Did he ever go to a birthday with you?
You know, that's a good question.
No,
that is a great question. My assumption would be, in some capacity or some form of birthday celebration, yes. But I don't know at what degree. No.
The No, I remember. Somebody just sent an email talking about they took their parents the first time, and their family had no connection to the Marine Corps, and they walked in, and you know, his mom and dad stopped him and said, "What is this table for?" Right, it's a table that we set for those who have gone before us, and he said, you know, the email said, "I explained it to him, and my mom and dad were hooked." You know, and then the pageantry of the Marine Corps ball for when you take somebody that's never been, it's a pretty cool experience, yes?
Yeah. I mean, we take it for granted, right, guys that served, because when you're young, you're like, I don't want to go to birthday ball. You know, it's like that mandatory fun, you know, everybody's going to go to the, into the beach party and have fun.
Right.
Period. But when you get a little more mature, you realize, wow, this is a great celebration, great organization, and no one does it better than, you know, when they celebrate birthdays, no one does it better than the Corps.
First of all, there's involved in the ceremony is some drill, right? And when drill's involved, the staff NCOs go out of their mind, yes?
Oh, they relish the fact. Change of command and birthday balls. Every former hat drill instructor comes out of the closet and wants to be that, the master drill inspector. And then, you know, oh my God, dude. And then when you're watching it, you know, we're just watching it, but all the first sergeants that were hats or the gunnies and the sergeant majors, they're all judging in their mind. They're giving a grade.
Yeah.
And you can see them all talking.
And they know it too, right? So they know they're under inspection by everybody.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a curse. It's a curse. If you're in the ceremony itself, you're like, oh my God, no. Because those poor asses, they're out there rehearsing forever that week.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And then they start off with, you know, not a full dress rehearsal, but they go out there with their cover. It's funny because they'll have their camis, but they'll have their covers, their swords, and their gloves on, you know, because that makes a big difference. And then they slowly migrate into more and more. And then they have their belts on. So they have their camis with their black leather belts on with their swords, and then their gloves and their covers on. You're like, oh yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and if you're unfortunate enough to be in it, so and normally, like, you're only in it as an officer. You're only in it when you're a lieutenant, right?
Yeah.
And then other than that, you know, if you're a cake bearer or something like that, if you're one of those poor asses that has to do that, but it's a big deal though.
Yeah, I mean, the cake bearer.
Nobody can turn an event into a drill movement like the Marine Corps. Right.
Right,
I mean, it's honestly amazing. I mean, look at our pallbearers, and the way you look at the Marine Corps pallbearers and the way they've turned a funeral into a drill movement. It's amazing. And
they're, Yeah, into a ceremony.
And I'll tell you what, and it's you know, we goof it because if you see what people go through to create that, but it's, I mean, it's, people love it. I remember my Marines from the Marine Detachment, we went, I think it was a Veterans Day or a Memorial Day, we went to be a firing detail in Coronado for the, I don't know if it was the VFW or the Legion or somebody, and they had this big ceremony at some park in Coronado. There's all these people there, right? And so we're all down there in our dress blues, because when you're on CDD, you do a fair amount of ceremonial stuff. And
you're always in your blues.
And so in the middle of this thing, the sprinklers come on. And
here, on the ship?
No, we're at a park in Coronado.
Oh.
So some genius doesn't like hit pause X on the sprinkler system, and these sprinklers pop up, and the Marines are just getting, they're at parade rest with rifles, right? They don't move a muscle, right? And then, you know, so then all of a sudden whoever's the speaker looks and says, "Hey, we need to stop," you know, and he looks at the sergeant and he says, "Sergeant, do what you need to do." So, and the sergeant, it was awesome, right? All these people are watching, sprinklers are going everywhere, Marines not moving a muscle, just standing there. And he comes to the position of attention, you're right, he pivots, detail, they snap. And then, you know, they do their facing movement, and then they, you know, right shoulder, forward, and then they just march off like it's nothing. That was the highlight of the day. These people went crazy. But, right, it's the whole devotion to ceremonies that Marines have, the way you're raised, with how important drill is.
It's the discipline.
Right. And they loved it. And, you know, you can imagine Coronado, huge Navy and Marine Corps population of retired people. Oh, my God. It was awesome, though. But we love that stuff. We love that stuff.
Yeah.
Mike, not so much. Mike likes to goof on it. But he loves it.
I'm a goof. You know, I'll tell you, Mac. So remember the in the ball, they had the escorts of one of each rank.
Yes.
You know, come down first.
Yes.
So they wanted to put chief warrant officers, you know, they wanted to do chief warrant officers in this. And there was, I think it was two of us. And I was a chief warrant officer 4, and there was one more. And they're like, okay. And that was the highest they go, because no one's got fives, right? Those are the guys that are, the Yetis of the Marine Corps. So they come to me, the sergeant major comes to me, and he's like, "Hey, sir, we're going to need you in the birthday ball celebration." And I was like, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "Well, we're going to do, the cake, the escorts, one of each rank." And I said, "Oh, well, then why do you need me?" "Well, sir, you're a 4, and then we'll have 2 4s. And I said, "Well, why don't you delete the 4s and just stop at 3s then?" And he's like, "Well, sir, we'd really like to have you in the ceremony." And I said, "Well, I'd really like not to be in it. And since I outrank you, then I think that's the way it's going to go." So he went to the old man. "Sir, the gunner's not complying with, wants to be in the birthday ball." And then, of course, the colonel's, "What do you want me to do about it?" You know, and so Major's kind of looking at him like, "What do you want me to order him to be in the ball? That ain't going to fly."
Well, actually, it would. You don't,
what?
You don't outrank the regimental commander, do you? As a CWO 4?
No. I don't outrank him, but... What, Max? What are you talking about?
I was going to say...
You're talking... Weird, man.
I was going to say,
insane.
So he called me in and he said, "Get your ass in the ceremony." And I was. I didn't realize that he deferred to you. Oh, my God. Who was the battalion?
No.
Who was it, battalion or regimental?
Regimental.
Who was the regimental commander? Who you intimidated?
Pete.
Unbelievable.
I didn't intimidate.
Unbelievable.
You know, I said, well, because I said, you know, because they went up to Lieutenant Colonel.
Oh.
And I said, "Well,
my.
Why'd you go to Lieutenant Colonel? You could get two colonels." put the old man in there. "Well, you're not in it, Sergeant Major. We stopped his first sergeant."
Yeah, but you're a four, not a five.
I don't give a shit.
The here's an email. Mac, I'm not sure if you're watching Fox News right now, but they're doing that thing they do about this time of day where there's four women and one guy in this panel. The guy
outnumbered.
There you go, outnumbered. The guy in the panel is a double amputee, former Marine EOD. He's awesome. And he's sitting there with a pair of he's sitting there in a suit, but the pants are cut off at the thigh with both of his prosthetics. It's awesome. He's a good-looking Marine. He's got his lapel pin on the Marine Corps birthday.
I'm watching it right now.
If you get a chance, watch it.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Dude, that is awesome. When his bionic legs are showing. He doesn't have the pants covering. That's cool, man.
It is. It is. No, you know what? I remember my mom coming to the Marine Corps birthday. And
who is that guy? I think I know that guy.
You don't know that guy.
Wait a second. Dude, yeah, he's got his EOD pin on. I know that guy.
You don't know that guy.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
I know that guy.
No, you don't. You're just saying that. You want people to think you're cool, so you're saying that. One of the cool things about all Marine Radio, if you turn on the Commandant's message, you'll see Barney Barnum in there, right? You would have heard, and you heard the interview, I don't know if you heard it, but you can listen to the interview with him, this week. Pretty cool. You'll see Kyle Carpenter there. You heard Kurt Knowles earlier today. Kurt Knowles and Rich Elaine saved that guy's life. And the way they ran our medevacs. And you talk to anybody who was involved in that, that kid was seriously injured, and minutes were the difference in saving his life. And Rich Lane and Kurt Knowles, Rudy, who was on earlier today, they probably shaved 10, 12 minutes off that kid's medevac and saved his life. The only reason that kid's alive today is because of those guys. So it's really cool, you know, on days like today when you see these things. I was telling a story. My mom, you know, I had no connection to the Marine Corps. Nobody in my family was ever in the Marine Corps. But my mom loved loved history, and she was a reader. And I remember her coming to visit and taking her, and she was just blown away. Absolutely blown away. At the end of the night, she said, "I'm speechless." She said, "I'm speechless."
Yeah.
This is the solemnness at certain points of it. She said, all these good-looking young guys with that clear look in their eyes and those good haircuts and those beautiful uniforms. She said, you know what? We're not as civilians. We're never around this, and it's so wonderful to see. The way you guys are with each other, the way you guys laugh, and I said, well, if you want to stick around for a little while, Mom, it's only gonna get better. You can go hang out by the gunner by the bar, and you'll see everybody. You'll see his wife doing the fireman's carry yet again this year, in spite of him promising that she'd never have to do it again. And
wife?
Yeah, your wife doing the fireman carry with you again.
She didn't do the fireman carry. What she did was, she, you know, as you're doing, you're praying at the porcelain throne in the morning, she's just laughing.
Yeah. Again, lost playing Masters of the Universe.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Dude, we got so, the 3-5 ball, we got so hammered before the ball, at the ball, I could barely move. Oh, my God. We were just. We went into a private club. They got invited us in. We were all in our dress blues. We were getting ready to go to the ball. So we were prepping. And there was, shit, a bunch of us from 3-5 in there. And they let us in this private club area and gave us all this alcohol for free. By the time the ball came, I was, so wasted. I mean, I don't even remember it.
You know, you have a history of that, right? At least you got to the ball this time. You know, it beats the your time on the Kitty Hawk? Is that what you were on?
Yeah, the shit kitty.
Yeah, where you didn't even show up. At least you got there this time.
Yeah, that one, well, that's different, dude.
How is it different?
We were in Argentina.
Oh, we're Oconus, so it's different. The rules are different.
Yeah.
I think you're different. Supposed to attend, my friend. I think you're supposed to attend. The I'll tell you what. It's pretty amazing when during the war, when you would come home and the way people treated you.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're not around it that much, and all of a sudden you're out in public in uniform like that. And it's pretty, pretty humbling, right? I don't know what the right way to describe it. A little bit taken aback by, you go to order a drink and the bartender just hands it to you and like, yeah, don't worry about it. Or something gets sent to the table. Or I remember going out to brunch on Easter with my family. And then, you know, at the end of it, you know, asking the waitress, could we have the check? And she said, it's been paid for. You know, and during that period of time when, we were fighting so much and, you know, people knew. And it's, I mean, it was just somebody who just opened the door, right? Saw you guys in uniform and said, come on in, yes?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
What are you guys doing out here? Get in here.
Who, us? Now, was your wife with you?
Oh, yeah.
So she's done that rodeo with you before?
Right.
Oh.
Yep. But yeah. So that was Mark Zamban. He lost his legs in Afghanistan when we were there. He was up north.
You know him?
So, yeah, that is Mark. And so he's the guy that climbed Kilimanjaro. He's been really a strong advocate. And I think he was going to be – he was still on active duty. I don't know if he is anymore, but they were going to – he was staying on active duty with two as a double amputee, and he was going to be an instructor at EOD school down there in where is it, Florida? You should get him on the show. I think I know some people that know him too.
Wait a minute, I thought it says Staff Sergeant Johnny Joey Jones.
That's what it was.
Yeah, that's.
Looked like. Wait, here he is again. That looks like Zamban. That looks just like Zamban. It's Johnny Joey Jones. It looks like Zamban, though, like identical, dude.
He's got a website. We're going to find out who he is.
Staff Sergeant Johnny Joey Jones.
Yeah, we're going to find out when he got. He does. He's got bionic legs, too.
Yeah, he's sitting on the couch with his bionic legs. Who's he with then?
And he's involved in NASCAR right now. Joins the Marine Corps, enlisted out of the Marine Corps out of high school, 8 years on active duty, as an EOD technician, deployed both to Iraq and Afghanistan, separate tours. During his last deployment to Afghanistan, Jones was responsible for disarming and destroying more than 80 IEDs. Blah, 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 blah. It was during that tour on August 6, 2010, right before you went as the admon, right, Mike? You guys would have just been getting there. When he stepped on it would have been victim, if he stepped on a victim-initiated IED, resulting in the loss of both legs above the knee, severe damage to his right forearm and both wrists. He recovered at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center in Washington, D.C., Wow.
He's got to be down south then. So he was in RCT-7's, if he lost it, because they wasn't doing anything up north.
Hold on.
And I wonder if he lost his legs when Gunny Holly lost his life down south with Watson in 3-1.
Oh,
that's the same.
He's got a video with a message for Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, I saw that. Now, Zamban is the other guy that I'm thinking about. He's an amputee, double amputee, EOD guy, Mark. And he was there when we were there.
I'm trying to find out. I'm trying to find out if there, like, if there's a Marine Corps story about him that would detail. It would detail what happened to him. Give me 1 second. But yeah, he's on. Yeah, pretty humbling. Born in Dalton, Georgia. 2006 transferred to Kaneohe Bay. Heavy machine gun course in 2006 at SOI. Camp Foster, Al Anbar, as mounted security for EOD teams at Al Asad in 2007. Let's see. 2010, Stephan Seal Academy. 2009, EOD, after EOD school. March 15, 2010, deployed to Southern Helmand Province in Afghanistan and operated there until he was wounded in action in August of 2010. Legs were amputated, mm-hmm. blah, blah. He is an active duty fellow at the House Committee for Veterans Affairs. So they say Southern Helmand. Where was Holly wounded, Mike?
Southern Helmand. Holly was in that big push when they were clearing out that stuff. I forget the name of that little patrol base way down there, but they were fighting through that city, and that's where Holly lost his life.
I'm just trying to find something that has that's military nature that would give more details, that would give more details of it in terms of where he was actually wounded.
I'll reach out to him and see who he was supporting at that time. But I'm pretty sure he was doing combat operations with 7th Marine Regiment when he lost his leg.
No. Well, no, you know, it's pretty humbling when you, and I'm trying to look at his hands, because his hands were, both of his arms were damaged, but those were his actual hands, and they're both working pretty good. Well, the one, he's got one index finger bent on his right hand. Must be pretty interesting for those people at Fox when that dude walks in today, and, pretty sobering in terms of what you bitch about,
yeah.
What you bitch about in your life. And then that dude walks in and with that
positive attitude.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, if you just look at him, he's got a smile on his face. He's a good looking guy. He looks good in his suit. And, you know, again, pretty motivating.
Yeah. And you know, those ladies are sitting there going, God, this guy's a good looking guy.
And my husband.
He's definitely a man.
A man's a man. Some Wall Street loser. Like, here's my number.
Yeah.
Plus he's enlisted, and women love enlisted Marines, right?
Yeah. They do. I'm dead serious.
I know you are. You said that the other day.
Yeah.
Just watching him. Give me your first recollection, first recollection of Marine Corps birthday. Were you in boot camp? Were you out of boot camp? PFC muscle?
No, I was out of boot camp. I was probably in, let's see, I got to 1-1 in December just for Christmas. I was at ITB. Then SOI, or then it was ITS, Infantry Training School. I don't think we had it. Maybe we did. Shit, you don't remember stuff when you're that young. And then it would probably been 1-1, when we got back to the United States. And then that next year, I think we had one in the Chow Hall on Hornell, because that was before we started going off base. You know, everybody, they had the birthday ball at the Chow Hall or something on base.
The birthday ball at the Chow Hall. That's the way we used to do it, man.
Yeah.
right, at the chow hall or whatever.
And then the only people that wore blues back then were your barracks Marines, you know, your complete brown noser guys, because, you know, all the regular grunts, all we had was alphas.
Right.
You know, so everybody's wearing their alphas, and then this
douchebag
rolls in with his blues, and you're like, what a dork.
You had blues because you were you were on sea duty, so you had blues.
Oh, this is way before. Remember, I went on sea duty as a sergeant.
Oh, that's the problem. Now I get it. I was thinking you were a junior.
So these suckasses would come in their blues as a lance corporal or a corporal, and you're like, you know, it's kind of like a second lieutenant walking in with evening dress.
That's the stupidest thing you've ever seen. Why are you wearing that?
Yeah, you're like, hey, douchebag, didn't they tell you don't get this until you get a field grade officer? I don't care if you can buy it.
Yeah. Or
but even captains,
or somebody,
even company commanders were very hesitant to put on
they shouldn't.
Evening dress.
They don't rate it.
No.
I
didn't get evening dress until I was a four, a senior four.
Yeah.
And then I didn't wear it until I was a five.
Hey, when I was on sea duty, the CO of the detachment comes to me and goes, hey, Mac, I'm thinking about buying boat cloaks for you and I.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
I saw in Quantico, this is no lie, at a function up in D.C., I saw a first lieutenant come in evening dress with a boat cloak.
Was it Halloween?
No, dude. I was like, I wanted to go over there and make fun of this dude so much. But to his credit or his defense, he was an aide to some 2-star general who was walking in with a boat cloak. But still.
Yeah. I still think you have to look at him and say, sir, I can't do this. I cannot go boat cloak.
I wouldn't have called him. I was a freaking CW4.
No.
If you're the aide,
you have to look at the general and say, sir, I can't do this.
Well, no, that would have been his excuse. He would have said to me, if I would have came up and said, hey, dork, what are you doing? He would have looked at me like, oh, Gunner, you know, the general was wearing his evening dress with bull cloak, and he asked me to get mine, and I'm like, shut up.
Exactly.
No one in their right mind is going to go and spend almost $2,000 for a uniform just because some general, you know.
If you've never seen it, this thing's a cloak, okay?
Yeah, it's like the Count of Monte Cristo would wear.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. The estimated cost, right? The estimated cost, because they have to get your measurements to make it, okay? The estimated cost is $650 for a boat cloak.
For a cloak.
A cloak. Okay. How many times are you going to get cloaked up, Mike? So he says to me, what do you think? And I just said, sir, I can't wear a boat cloak. He's like, why? I mean, it's like, you know, sea duty. I'm like, sir, I can't go there. It's a samurai violation, right? I would, if you put one on, I'll ridicule you like you've never been ridiculed in your life.
Right.
He looked at me. He goes, I think they're cool. I'm like, okay, that means you're a dork, okay? So we're not going to talk about it anymore. You're not going to buy them because you're not going to spend, you know, whatever. Probably at the time,
right.
Yeah, it was like $1,000 to buy two of them. You're not. That's the fraud, waste, and abuse, okay? And I'll report you to the federal government and the commandant. So you'll get in trouble. Rich Christie, God bless his soul. And so it became kind of a running joke, you know. Oh, if we do this, are you going to say yes to the boat cloaks? No. I can never say
right.
Yes to the boat cloak. But, you know, I forgot, you know, dress blues being issued is a fairly recent phenomenon in the Marine Corps.
The what? Dress blues?
Yeah, being issued is a fairly recent phenomenon in the Marine Corps. Before, I mean, Mike, you know, was talking, you know, you got your alphas issued to you. You didn't have dress blues.
Yeah. And, you know, I never saw anybody in the evening dress wear the white waistcoat.
Yeah.
No. That was reserved. So the evening dress is a pretty formal attire,
right.
But the white waistcoat for the evening dress is like tip top.
Yeah, it's like is that seasonal, Mike? Is that worn seasonally?
The white waistcoat?
Yeah,
no,
like white trousers.
No.
How about that? White trousers. I mean, there was a time when only 8th and I wore white trousers.
Oh, dude, I had white trousers on sea duty.
And now every
we had to wear white trousers all the time on sea duty.
And now it's part of I'm not sure if it's part of the I would guess it'd be part of the issue.
Yeah, it's because it's seasonal. In the summer, you wear your white trousers.
Right, man. For the longest time, the only people really who wore that, guys at 8th and I was on sea duty. We didn't have white trousers. So
we did.
Yeah, the Kitty Hawk on its own program. Nice.
Yeah.
The
dude, that's funny, man.
The boat cloak.
The boat cloak.
The
it doesn't even look cool.
Yeah, I think that you know, there's some guys who join the Marine Corps who have like the trumpets playing in their head, and they have this vision.
The oil.
Yeah, of them.
The oil painting of them in uniform. On campus, hanging in their grand ballroom.
Exactly, with them like on the boat where Washington is, like crossing the Delaware River at Trenton.
Yeah.
To go to kill British people on Christmas at night.
To go to the ball in their boat cloak.
but you watch them and the way they conduct themselves. You're like, he's got the bugles going in his head, doesn't he? He does. He's like a little bit crazy in the head about it, and that's never a good thing.
Oh yeah,
because it's
you know what would have been cool?
What
if wearing the evening dress or like those kind of things, the bear hat would have been acceptable wear. So like the British Queen's Guard bear hat, the big black thing, walk in with that, with the big bear hat, with the that would have been cool, dude. I would have got that.
You know, one of the things that that the Brits do that's pretty cool, I mean, first of all, their military goes back forever, right? Like, the Marine Corps...
Yeah, before the United States was even founded, yeah.
The Marine Corps goes back, right? We're 242 years old today, okay?
And that's
like,
young.
Yeah, the British Royal Army is like 1,100 years old. That's something stupid.
Well, they don't have a Royal Army. There's no such thing as the Royal Army.
What do they call it?
It's the British Army. The royal designation they do not have for the Army.
Ooh.
Now, there are units within the British Army that have the royal designation, like the Royal Hussars and the Royal Dragoons, but the Army itself is not referred to as the British Royal Army. Now, the British Royal Marines, that honor was bestowed upon them because of their actions.
I take it back. The British the British Army was founded in 1660.
Yeah, I remember when I was in England, we were at this function, and the Royal Marines had their standard out, their colors.
Wait. I'm confused. You did both barracks duty and sea duty?
Yeah. Back to back. I told you how I did that. It was a glitch in the system. I finished England. I got back to Norfolk. I was checking out. The war had kicked off in 1991. And I was getting ready to go over there as a combat replacement guy for like 1-8, 8th Marines. And I didn't want to go to Lejeune. And I was at the bar upstairs at the barracks. And Lieutenant Carney, then Captain Carney, comes walking in, and he was an old 1-1 guy, Dragon platoon commander, and I was an 81. And he's like, hey, and we start talking. And then he goes, where are you going? And I said, well, I got orders to 1-8. He goes, oh, yeah. And, you know, you want to go to Lejeune? I said, no, I want to get back to Camp Pendleton. And he goes, man, I got a deal for you. And I said, what? He goes, if you weren't, I have to personally stand up a Marine detachment on board USS Kitty Hawk. She's up in Philadelphia. Eventually, when she gets out of dry dock, she's going to make her way back to home port San Diego. Do you want to go? And I'm like, sign me up. And then 2 days later, I'm in my Blues checking on board the USS Kitty Hawk while she's still up on stilts, out of the water, and I'm the only Marine there for like 6 months as a department head.
I didn't realize that they were back-to-back tours, though. What a pogue.
Yeah, it was great. I only did a year. I mean, I stayed on her long enough for when she finally got her detachment. We left Norfolk, we left Philadelphia, went back to Norfolk, did our sea trials off Norfolk, we passed, and then we went on a Goodwill tour back to San Diego. We went to the Bahamas, we went to the Caribbean Islands, we went to South America, all Liberty spots, man. And then pulled back into San Diego, and I had head orders to 1-5, and there I went.
Whoa, that's okay. Anyway, back to your story about you were doing something in, you find out something new about people every day. I must not have been paying attention.
I had a good tour, man. I was lucky.
No, your personality gets you through a lot of turbulence in a career. Mike has a way with people, okay? He's going to be the governor of Texas in about 4 years, okay? Just so everybody knows. They're going to say, he's from Minnesota. He could be up there in his cowboy boots and his Stetson.
What?
Exactly.
I'm from Texas. My driver's license says Texas. I'm in a house in Texas. I pay Texas taxes.
I'm from Texas. Lone Star State. All right, so tell us the story.
And if Buck is listening, Buck's going to send me a text in a little bit. He's going to say something like, you know, shit, you ain't from Texas. I'm like, Buck, where do I live? Texas. Where's my driver's license say? Texas. My plate say Texas. You can't pick your family, and you can't pick where you're born.
Texas. Nice. Okay, so you're in England, and you're doing something with the Royal Army. You were telling that story. Before I interrupted you. You were telling a story before I interrupted you.
Well, no. Oh, so we were at the Royal Marines, and we were at this celebration for some kind of thing going on. And, dude, they got the band comes out, and their drummers are wearing, like, tiger skins and lion skins and cheetah skins. And it's freaking cool for all their campaigns in Africa.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at their battle colors, and I asked one of the guys, I said, shit, man, that's a lot of battle colors. And, he's like, and so, you know, I'm like, what's that one from? And he goes, oh, that's from fighting the Zulus in Africa, you know, in 1650 or something, you know, just like crazy shit. And you're like,
crazy
oh my
stuff.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Buck just finally came back and said, bullshit. I'll say it like Buck does it. Bullshit.
Hey, you told me not to cuss during the third hour of the show, so knock it off.
I wasn't cussing. Bullshit is, you can step in bullshit, because bullshit, it's not a bad word.
There you go. I knew that was going to happen. It looks weird.
Bullshit.
It looks weird when you see those, like, leopard skins and things like that, and you look at it, you're like, what is that? And then you hear the history of it, and you're like, whoa, that is really, really cool. Their deployment in like 1680 to Africa when they fought the Zulus, and you're just like, you've got to be kidding me, man. That is awesome. Let me read you another email.
What?
Oh, dude.
No. I just saw
something. Hold on. I just got this. Happy birthday, Mac. John Wayne. Okay, John Wayne was never a Marine. Okay, we went through this once. Buck, I'm sorry you're going to have to hear this again, but he was only a Marine in the movies. That doesn't count. Okay? Now, I know a lot of Marines love him, and that's okay, but let's keep it real,
boys. What are
you
talking about?
Yeah. Somebody by the name of John Wayne wished me happy birthday. Happy birthday, Devil Dog. All right.
Hey, so I just was still watching Outnumbered, and this tag comes up and says, Democratic congressman from Illinois supports dumping Star Spangled Banner as the national anthem.
God.
Representative Davis from Illinois, nothing wrong with the effort to move the Star Spangled Banner. Hey, give me his address. I'll get in my truck right now, and I'll drive up to Illinois. I'll put him in the back and drive him to Mexico or somewhere else and kick his ass out of the country.
It's just so stupid. I mean, honestly, if you listen to the there was a whole, you know, batch of historians on different news programs yesterday trying to explain to people the lyrics in the third verse of the Star Spangled Banner.
You can't, man.
I saw and then I see a picture last night that was taken at North Dakota State University. Three girls had put on like black facial stuff on.
Yeah.
Right? And they took a picture like with, you know, making gang signs. A couple were making gang signs, but they're sitting there drinking coffee, and one of them sends this to friends on Twitter and it says gang shit on it, right? And it's just them getting facials done. Well, then it goes out on the internet, and these girls are now doing blackface. And you're just looking at it going, you know what, you've got to be kidding me. This stuff is so crazy, like, it's like crazy beyond crazy. You know, so Colleen and I were talking last night, and I said, hey, Colleen, just so you know, do a search for blackface, and then put the name Al Jolson in there. He sings a song called Mammy. So she's watching it, and I'm singing the song. I said, that's blackface, okay? What these girls are doing.
Yeah.
But again, it doesn't matter. The truth doesn't matter. All you got to do is put it out there, right? And off it goes into social media, and the truth doesn't matter. The truth doesn't matter, and I don't know, just pretty disturbing that, you know, you see the accusation, for instance, the stuff that happened at the Air Force Academy. A black cadet wrote that, where you had that lieutenant general get on and say, if you can't live in this diverse world, get out, which is awesome, right?
They did kick his ass out, though.
Well, I mean, as it should be, but the story did not get the play that the ultimate truth didn't get the play that the initial story got. Same thing.
That doesn't matter, dude.
Same thing that happened in Kansas. Some black student wrote all.
And he was going to the prep school, so that didn't count either.
Right. Well, the truth doesn't matter. And this is in a country that's elected a black guy twice. I don't know. Somehow we've been teleported back to the time of the American Civil War. I don't get it. I don't get it. Here's another birthday email. I am curious. I've only known Gunner through All Marine Radio, and he does have a little bit of personality. How did he keep from getting hammered every birthday ball? Because if you're a senior enlisted guy, those young guys come up with shots, and for you not to get hammered, it's a miracle. My question is, did he ever not get hammered after becoming a senior Marine? You are a charismatic.
I was only.
You are a charismatic figure.
I was only, when I became a gunner, I was only in the United States like three times for the birthday ball, four times maybe. The rest of the time I was always overseas, so that was easy. But out of those four times, you got to stay away from them. They usually show up at your table with the drinks in hand, and then you're screwed. But you just got to do your best, man. And there were times where, you know, you'd like six shots and then go, oh, man, I got to go to the bathroom. And you go to the bathroom and then freaking force yourself to puke it all up real quick before it saturates your body.
Man, that's the way men do it. The other trick I've seen is, you know, when everybody throws it down, I've seen guys throw it over their shoulder against the wall. And then go,
I drink it. And then I just, like I said, go to the bathroom real quick and then pull the trigger and bring it right back up.
So what, stick your finger down your throat?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you're the Marine Corps and you don't learn that move, you're stupid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
And somebody's asking me, Mac, how about favorite birthday moments? You know what? One of the in 2004, Mike and I were both in Ramadi, and I General Mattis had left. I was his staff secretary. So General Natonski showed up, and Natonski liked me. He goes, hey, I want you to stay on as a staff sec. I said, I can't do this anymore. I said, he said, well, what do you want to do? I said, I wanted to go do current ops. It's what I like. And Roger Turner was there. J.J. Carroll was there. John Murner was there. All guys I had taught as lieutenants, and they were all really good lieutenants. And now they were really good majors. And so they're in there.
Right.
And so he's like, all right, we could use you in there. And so I go work. and that's right. And so what's happening now is the Red Sox have beaten the Yankees in the World Series, in the American League playoffs. And the Red Sox going to win the World Series that year in 2004 for the first time. So there's a general, like, terrible feeling around me and other people that were Yankee fans. Actually, for me, it wasn't so much Yankees. It was, you know, I remember thinking that, you know, my dad would, that should have happened in 1986. You know, when my dad was managing the Red Sox. So my heart was sad with that. But so the election happens the first week in November. The division gets told by if President Bush or no matter what, I want to say the election went on Tuesday, you'll LD on Thursday. So we weren't going to LD before the election. The election happens. We LD on Thursday. So, right, Fallujah 2 gets going, and it's crazy. Natonski says, and we have Army units fighting with us, everybody that's with the division is going to get two beers and a shot of rum. What?
Right.
And so we had to get the beer from in Kuwait into Iraq. And so this is hilarious. So you're doing current ops, and so it's like, hey, this beer needs to get moved. Like, well, wait a minute, we're moving class 4, and we're moving class 6, and they're doing this. So you pick up the phone, right, and I call, like, Mike, I need 4 gun trucks, and I've got 2 trucks, and I need it to be escorted, blah, 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 blah. They would say, no, Mac, I got some being maintained, I've got this patrol, I've got this, I got nothing for you.
Because you never said what you're moving.
All of a sudden, you say the word beer, and the same guys who would not help you for shit would say this. Yeah, I already heard about it. We've got refrigerated trucks. I've got guys that will guard it. What do you need? You're like, you bastard. Like, what? And let me tell you, there are trucks. I mean, I've never seen anything run on time like this in my life with rum.
Yeah.
And, but it was really cool when units got, you know, when most of the fighting died down, there's really cool pictures.
Or sleeping for IEDs on the route was circled task number one because you didn't want to lose a truck to an IED. And, yeah, I remembered all that. I mean, that was a big deal, man. Everybody was like, shit, we got to lock this road down. I mean, it was a big push.
Yeah. So, but there's really cool pictures of Marines with beer and rum in Fallujah, and even Army units, you know, that, you know, you see this big group picture, they all have a beer in one hand and a shot of rum in the other, you know, with somebody writes on the picture, we'll come fight with you son of a bitches any day of the week, just let us know, we love the Marine Corps, and that is very cool. So probably my favorite memory on the birthday is that, about our tradition, even, you know, in the midst of some incredible fighting, there was still this time that, you know, that, and even, you know, embracing everybody who was there with us, our Army brothers that were there fighting in there, very cool. And they thought it was awesome, though, because I remember calling them, hey, look, we've got this shipment of beer. They're like, what? We can't have beer. No. General Natonski waved it, Marine Corps birthday, 2 beers and a shot for everybody. They were like, are you shitting me? This is awesome, man. And it was pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
All right. That's the end.
So I'm on my way to the petroleum club to have lunch with Ron and Ralph.
All right. Tell them happy birthday and get correct.
It's Marine Corps birthday.
I know.
See, Ron was in the Army. No fault to him.
Yeah, I know.
He was in the Army. And Ralph was an Air Force air traffic controller.
I know, though. They need to get correct and say happy birthday, Gunner.
Well, no. I mean, everybody's born to do some role.
Right.
And in those cases, when you're in the Army, in the Air Force, in the Navy, you're part of the supporting act. Right?
Yeah.
The main character for this story, boys and girls, is the United States Marine Corps.
And thank God they're not part of the Coast Guard.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and most Army guys that I know that are buddies of mine, they're like, you some bitch Marines, man. You guys think you're so freaking da-da-da. And they go through this tyrant, and you're like, and you're done. You're like, yep.
Are you done?
Yeah, you done? What are you trying to point out?
What's your point?
You're just jealous.
You are jealous. And that's after they tell you, I wanted to join the Marine Corps because my uncle was and my dad was, but I joined the Army.
Because you'll go through life always wanting to know if you could have done it.
Exactly. Maybe you could be one of us.
Could have been one of us. The few, the proud.
The crazy. All right, man. Happy birthday.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
There you have it. The one and only Mike Musselman on the birthday. All right. I got to hear the commandant say one more time for the win. Okay, so stand by. Here you have it. This is a segment of a speech that I love. I sent him an email yesterday. I said, hey, look, I don't know who wrote this We Got a Win thing, but I like it a lot. So here he is, a segment of a speech that he gave, his message that he gave from Guadalcanal.
This is a story about individuals' heroic actions, but it's about leadership. It's about perseverance, about resilience. They could have quit. They could have given up. I mean, there weren't too many good days here. So I think it's important for all of us to remember where we came from and who we are and why we're here on our birthday, which is what we're supposed to do. Remember the past. Honor those that are no longer with us. Think about what's going on today and get ready for tomorrow. We've got a great Marine Corps. We've got great Marines. Our families support us. The nation supports us. We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You gotta win.
That'll do it on a Friday, the Marine Corps birthday, the 242nd birthday. So my daughter Colleen walked in. She's off today for the Veterans Day holiday. But we don't really celebrate Veterans Day. What do we celebrate, Colleen?
The Marine birthday.
There you have it, the Marine Corps birthday. So do you have anything to say to all the Marines listening out there today?
Happy birthday. We love you.
There you have it. That's Colleen. It's her dad and both of her brothers. Both of our brothers on active duty and me. So have a great day. Have a great weekend. To all you veterans out there, happy Veterans Day. To everybody listening, make it a point. Memorial Day is Memorial Day. Veterans Day celebrates the achievement and the contribution of veterans to our, not only while they're on active duty, but when they get off active duty as well. So make it a point to all veterans, whether you handed out volleyballs or you were a machine gunner. So anyway, have a great day. This program repeats itself momentarily, so whatever you do, don't touch that dial. Hold on, where's my music? Doesn't sound right, does it? That sounds right, doesn't it? Yeah, it just sounds better. This program repeats itself momentarily, so have a great weekend. 242 years old today. Not without its challenges, but as always, tighten your chin strap, and whether you're on active duty or not, make next year a better year. So happy birthday to everybody on a Friday. Happy Veterans Day to everybody tomorrow. Don't touch that dial, whatever you do. Fun day, I think, if you haven't noticed. Fun day for everybody here. The memories we have of the Marine Corps birthday, wherever we celebrated it around the world. I had my company, Gunny. We celebrated it up at Fort Irwin. We scrounged a cake, had our own ceremony as we were fighting the Op 4 in 1992 or 3, one of those years, Lance Y. Best company gunny ever. Yeah, about 6'8". Lance is the one that gave me the advice. You know, you'll never get over this. Best advice ever got in my life. To a special happy birthday to him. Yeah, awesome dude. Anyway, as I said, this program repeats itself momentarily. Have a great one.